So this morning, I'm going to be talking about Soli Deo Gloria, and that is Latin for "To God alone be the glory." Are you surprised what the topic is? I'm going to speak about "To God be the glory alone," and I'm going to do it with passion without any more interruptions, and I'm just going to drive through because it is super duper important. But I don't want to stand up here and just sound like I'm giving you these trite little things that you have to be, this, you know, do this, do that, do this, do that. Because I realize that life can hammer us sometimes, and you're kind of wondering. Thanks for the talk about "To God alone be the glory" when I'm bleeding out over here. So I am tender to that. So I want to start with this letter. It's a boy named Cole sent this letter home from Boy Scout camp. He says, "Dear Mom, our scoutmaster told us all to write our parents in case you saw the flood on TV and worried. We are okay. Only one of our tents and two sleeping bags got washed away. Luckily, none of us got drowned because we were all up on the mountain looking for Chad when it happened." "Oh, yes, please call Chad's mother and tell her he's okay. He can't write because of the cast." Scoutmaster Webb got mad at Chad for going on a hike alone without telling anyone. Chad said he did tell him, but it was during the fire. "Did you know that if you put gas on a fire, the gas can will blow up?" "The wet wood still didn't burn, but one of our tents did. Also some of my clothes. We will be home on Saturday if Scoutmaster Webb gets the car fixed. It wasn't his fault in the wreck." "Scoutmaster Webb is a neat guy. Don't worry, he's a good driver. In fact, he's teaching Terry how to drive. And he only lets him drive on the mountain road. Also, Wade and I threw up. Scoutmaster Webb said it probably was just food poisoning from the leftover chicken. He said that they got sick that way with the food they ate in prison." "I'm so glad he got out and became our scoutmaster. I have to go now. We're going into town to mail our letters and buy bullets." I want to talk about what is the purpose of talking about glorifying God when life is like that, it goes awry so often. But I think that God's glory shines even brighter at times like that. It can. You may be thinking, "Sharon, glorify God in everything I do. I am lucky to get 5 minutes of quiet time in the morning, and the rest of my day is a runaway train." But we need to look at that, right? Or maybe you're thinking, "I feel like my life has crashed and burned, broken to bits, and I can't even find all the pieces." We have been there, all of us, and I'm going to revisit that fact that we need to remember to have our eyes wide open. God has not left. God is still present. Put the goggles on. God wants you and I to see that He is present and uses the most difficult and traumatic experiences in our lives to show us who He is, to show us that He is our rescuer and our protector, our life force. And he wants to, in those traumatic things, make us like him, grow our trust, realize that we weren't meant to do life by ourselves. He wants to show us that he absolutely has the power from on high, to give to us, to motor through this life victoriously. He will make us complete. In 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18, it says, "Therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So, fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." And I really like to say that in this life, it's just a spit in the bucket. Now, I've had 59 years of spit in the bucket. That seems like a long time. But in view of all eternity, with God goggles on, no. And so, we want to be watching. What's coming? This is just training ground. This is just the training ground. We have to try and keep our head in the game with that thought. I remember this time when there was a circumstance in my life, and I did not want it in my life, and it was going to be a long journey, I had a feeling, and I just really kind of wanted to detour around it and keep on going. And God was not going to allow that. He was going to make me go through that long, dark tunnel or that valley of Baca and drink through that valley of Baca. And I was talking to him about it, and I was just saying, could we just do something else? Could we try my idea instead of yours, God? I really like my idea better. And I am very good at U-turns. I take U-turns often wherever I'm going. And I just said, God, I want the grace of deliverance right now. I do not really want the grace of perseverance. And sometimes God answers with no. And that's what he did. I don't want to go through this. I'm weary, and that looks very long and very dark. Please. And you know what his soft, still voice said inside my head? Why would you not want more of my goodness? Have you ever thought of your traumatic experience, your hard season of life, your trial, as an opportunity for more of God's goodness? It stopped me in my tracks. Because of course I want more of God's goodness. I just want it easy. But remember we said, righteous oaks of God's splendor aren't grown in easy. They're not. But God took care of that business, because if we revisit Isaiah 61, we find out that he addresses all those things that we feel and experience in our traumatic seasons of life. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me. We're talking about Jesus, but we are Jesus' sister. He was the first. Right? So we can apply this to us. To bring good news to the poor. So we have good news in the bad times. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted. So we have comfort in our brokenheartedness. And to proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. We have freedom if we choose not to sit in the muck and mire. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come. The Lord surrounds us with himself in our mourning. And with it, the day of the Lord's anger against their enemies. To all who mourn Israel, that's all the believers, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes. So we may be in process, but we're getting more and more and more beautiful as he shines more and more and more through us. So he brings us a joyous blessing instead of mourning and festive praise instead of despair. So if we're still sitting in that place of why me, why don't I have that life, all those things, then we have not tapped into the glory of God. We have not tapped into the power that he waits to pour on us, in us, and through us. We need to tap into God and quit choosing self-stuff instead of the Almighty. Because in their righteousness, they will be great oaks that the Lord has planted for his glory. That's great oaks of righteousness. So the title of that section is God Has Good News for the Oppressed. Sometimes we're just oppressed. It doesn't mean we're not going to experience oppression or sads or depression or all those things, but how do we experience it is our choice. And Mel made it really clear that we are choosers. I love that. We choose how we walk through it. Do we walk through it with a full heart? Do we walk through it with power? Or do we walk through it like Eeyore Sad Sacks? Now, that doesn't mean I don't go to my trusted sister and say, I need prayer, and bawl my eyes out and pray with her. But I go to the source, I drink from that living water continuously through the experience. This is the thing. God uses these things for him and for us. When we fumble, when we fail, when we despair, when we hit rock bottom, when we finally get to the end of ourselves, that's when we grow most in the glory of God, because we stop trying in our own strength. We become gentle and meek and humble. That's when we become teachable. And finally, we receive all of God and realize we are fully dependent on him. And that was his goal the whole time. That's when we stop doing our own thing and we start digging our roots deeply into the glory of God. We soak up that glory for his glory. Oaks of righteousness that display his splendor are not grown in an easy life, like I said. Righteous oaks are grown through the tough stuff by choosing to trust him, by choosing to stand in the storm and hang on to his hands, by choosing, okay, I'll receive the grace of perseverance. I'll do that over the long haul, if that's what you're calling me to, because I trust you. I trust you, even though this looks like a horrific thing. I trust you, God. I trust you. So I choose not to run. I choose not to avoid this. I choose to sit in your presence. I choose not to sit in the muck and mire. I choose to draw from your power, not my own reasonings. I choose. Be a mighty warrior who chooses God. Be mighty. Know who you are in God. We don't have to lay down under it. We stand up. We stand up in the power of God. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, and we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. And in the NLT it says, so all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord who is the Spirit makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. Are we contemplating the Lord's glory? No, I'm thinking about what that person said to me and my feelings are hurt. Are we contemplating the Lord's glory in the midst of our mourning? Because that will soothe our soul. Are we contemplating when we hate our boss that it's the Lord's glory that will relieve us of the hatred and transform us from the inside out to be his light that will probably end up transforming our boss? Or at least affect them a little bit, because they'll be like, how come they don't hate me? So contemplating the Lord's glory should be ever on our minds so that we can be transformed in the power of his glory and begin to reflect it. If we're not going to contemplate it, it's not going to happen, girls. So our minds need to be there instead of internal all the time. Our responsibility in glorifying God alone is lay down our agendas. It is so hard, I know. But we just need to be purposeful about it because His will is better than ours. His agenda is better than ours. And the only reason we're hanging on to ours is we want to be sovereign. We want to be in control. And that's a sin. It's a sin. Secondly, we need to kill the pride. We are not all that. We are not the center of the universe. We are not that bag of chips. We live for Him. We live for Him. And I don't know why we hang on to us so much. Because Him, whew, He's so much better. His character is perfect. He's beautiful. And we keep hanging on to these little pieces of us thinking, no, 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 I need this. I'm just going to tap Jesus and put Him on different parts of me. Okay, I look like Jesus, but really my heart has not been, it hasn't been cleaned out and refilled. I'm just tapping Him on the outside a little bit to look good. And then receive the truth. Receive and live in the truth. Oh, that's a good word, Lord, but I'm going to go worry, even though it says not to. Even though it says to praise You, to pray in thankfulness. I'm going to go ahead and stay up all night and worry instead. I'm not going to forgive because I want to feel miserable. I'm terrible at forgiving. And you sit in that and you, I don't know, you just hurt because you have a reason to. I have great authority on this topic. Instead of saying, okay, I believe that, do that in me, and walk away from it. I believe that, God, now do that in me. That's how it works. And then grow deep roots to produce fruit. Stop running, stop avoiding God. He has the best stuff. Because all we can produce on ourselves is the rotten fruit. So, trees that don't have deep roots, who don't exclusively live in God's glory, fall, and they don't produce fruit. And God can't build a beacon of a church with fallen trees. And this story is bigger than just us, me, myself, and I. Everything we say or do will illuminate or obscure the character of God. And that is why we have to examine our hearts at night. Am I obscuring God's face? Am I muddying Jesus' face to the world? Am I making the church look like the church rather than like Jesus? Or am I glorifying God? You know, there's some great examples of glorifying God alone, where we see that self takes the back seat, and God is the first and foremost in the line. Both Johann Sebastian Bach and George Frederick Handel often began their musical compositions with the heading JJ, two capital J's. Jesus, Juva, I think you might say it that way, and it means Jesus, help me. They also signed their finished scores of music with Soli Deo Gloria, capital SDG, giving the glory for all the beauty and all the artistry of their music to God alone. They put those initials in place of their own signature on those pieces of music, so that God would get all the credit for all that practice and all that work and all the notoriety that their music compositions would receive. This is a big deal, because in that Baroque period, all artists were publicly recognized only by their mark. They removed their mark and put Jesus's, put the Lord's mark. That's a great example to us that all we say, all we do, all we accomplish in our daily life should be pointing to the glory of God. Thank you, Sebastian Bach. Now, we're not somebody super famous, maybe, but let me give you an example of an everyday person who reminds me all to the glory of God, and it has to do with one of the songs that Shirley chose for this morning. Whether you like tattoos or not, forgive me, I don't want you to focus on the idea of the tattoo, but I want you to focus on the artistry of it. Soli Deo Gloria, to God alone be the glory. That's my tattoo. And it speaks of God first and the honor of my mom, Gloria Ann Corns. Her name was Gloria, get it? So she wasn't famous like Bach, but she also left the legacy of glorifying God alone. Because the Lord transformed my mom, who was an absolute nervous Nelly my whole childhood, into a very surrendered soul by the time she passed at 78 years old. Now, her upbringing was very abusive. She had a tough marriage. She was widowed early, and by the time she went home to be with the Lord, she had embraced God as her Father and Jesus as her Savior and her Lord, her best friend, her husband, her beloved, her roommate, her friend, her neighbor, her provider, her protector, and more. And so when I would have my little retreats at our house, the girls and I, we would get to just truly rest. Well, she was many things, many beautiful things, a big sister, a wife, a neat mom, a telephone operator, an activity director, a Girl Scout leader, a friend, a beautiful Nana, and a Sunday school teacher by the time she was 78. But instead of putting all those loving, wonderful things on her grave marker where we spread her ashes, she had her marker made ahead. That's how my mom was. And all she put on it was child of God. What a statement. And my sister was so upset about that. Well, she was our mom. But then she knows the Lord, and she was thinking, wow, completely His. I'm not going to toot my own horn. I'm going to toot His. That's amazing. So let's think about this, girls. We need to seriously consider, how would you identify yourself today? How would I identify myself today? First thing out of my mouth would be what? Mom, Nana, and then in a position at work. What are those things that we put before who we are in Jesus, and even before that, who He is? What would people say about us? Would they say something about our looks, our works, our brains, our hobbies, our accomplishments? Or would the first thing they remembered be that first and foremost, we loved and lived for our Lord? Were we a true disciple during this spit in the bucket? Are we so sold out to Christ, shining so brightly that they need to put their shades on? Let it shine. It is so important, not only to your personal relationship, because I want you to be better. I want you to be okay. I want you to thrive in Jesus. I don't want you to leave anything unkept by Him, untended by Him. But even more than that, if we don't let Him tend to everything, then we cripple the church. And that is not okay. That is not okay with God. Because His church is what He's using to show the world who He is. I don't want to be a blinder. I want to be a beacon. In Ephesians, says, and God placed all things under His feet and appointed Him to be head over everything for the church, Jesus. The church, which is His body, the fullness of Him, who fills everything in every way. We've got to start thinking, when I walk in that church building in the morning, that's not the church, I'm the church. I am the fullness of Christ. We are chosen people. We are called, I am the fullness of Christ. You are the fullness of Christ. That is a beautiful, amazing, majestic thing. And we never, ever, ever take it for granted. We bow before it and honor God for that privilege. Jesus said to His disciples, in John 15:8, this is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. To glorify God, we must grow good fruit from deep roots. Good fruit won't come without the deep roots. Mel made that really clear. In Scripture, fruit is a metaphor used to describe the outward demonstration of our inward disposition or condition of heart. So let's look at Matthew 15:18. But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them, or they glorify God. So our fruit includes things like our behavior, our attitude, our words, and our thoughts. So we as Christians, we have the power and the joy to bring forth the fruits of love and good works. We have the power to do that, and it is our joy to do that. Sometimes it just seems like Christians always talk about how hard it is to walk with Jesus. And, you know, I love people because God puts that in me, but sometimes I just want to smack them up the side of the head. You don't love Jesus? That's what that sounds like.
Oh my gosh, I had to be spiritual again today.
That was not in my notes, but counterfeit to bearing good fruit is pretense. And I'm telling you, that is not okay with Jesus. Jesus!
Great.
We can become experts at the routines and the lingo and the churchianity, while experiencing, sadly, no real power and bearing no real fruit. And then our hearts remain self-centered, dissatisfied, joyless, while we go through the motions of serving God. What a waste. How sad Jesus' heart is when that's what we choose. When there's this plethora of gifts and fruits and power and joy available to us. Do it with me, girls! Galatians 5:22, we know it so well, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's what's available to us. Against such thing there is no law. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh. Kill it with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let's do this thing. Let's run hard together for the prize, because that is thriving, and it is enthralling to live like that. We are perfectly capable to do that, even in the hardest of times, because He will be with us. It is crucial to realize that being fruitful is not something that is accomplished by mere willpower, but only by the power of God. And I stated that last night. The Holy Spirit is integral to a fruitful life, to a life that is full and vibrant. So that we have to let the Spirit work in us and through us as believers. It is grace and glory. And we cannot claim that power as our own. Let me go here just a minute. One of the things that concerns me about church is that we take these scriptures about the Holy Spirit, about His giftings, about His power, and then we make it ours. You can walk into a certain place, what's your gift? Well, the gift that God has given me, that He will pour forth, that He will develop in me for the building of the body, that gift, we need to be very honorable about that. Mm-hmm. I'm here at this podium because this is what God has given me to do. I do that humbly because I'm just a cracked pot. So I'm just saying yes to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And whatever He has poured into you, you develop that. It's not yours. It's still His. Mm-hmm. Please understand that. Be humble about that and use your gift. And if you have to suffer a little bit, poor baby. There are people dying in other places across the world, walking 10 miles to get to church. And we're like, hurry up, Pastor, I want to go to lunch. Ah! I love you guys. I love the church, but let's doggone it, be the church. Make Jesus smile. Let's laugh with them. Let's enjoy this thing. Let's do it. Okay. Now I want to talk about what fruit is. And I can't help but think of this one picture of fruit. Remember the fruit of the loom?
Yeah. Yeah.
I was trying to do this seriously. I'm like, oh, I keep thinking of that picture. And so Debbie helped me find it. Anyway, let's get started. serious. I'll tell you what, I wanted to talk about fruit seriously. Good fruit is when we see this change in our disposition and our attitudes and our affections and our actions, because we've invited the Holy Spirit in and he starts doing what he does. The sins we formerly loved become disgusting to us. Oh, you know, I'm going to do that better. No. The sins that we formerly loved become disgusting to us. We begin to love others with the love of Christ, even if we don't click with that personality. And that's not always easy, but remember, we have the power. We more easily forgive. We talked about that. As we are given opportunity, we seek to do good to everyone, even when it's inconvenient. We exercise our spiritual gifts, not for self-glory, but for the building up of the body of Christ to glorify God. We share the good news of Christ and make disciples. I think we've allowed ourselves to be silenced, because the world is talking all this crud. And we're buying into it. We're watering down our gospel faith. Oh, well, I probably shouldn't say that because it goes against the tide. Jesus walked quite obviously against the tide. He was always ticking people off, even the religious people. Yeah, it's going to be uncomfortable sometimes. We will always be loving, but we must say the uncomfortable things sometimes. Because we're going to stand before Jesus. And he's going to say, did you say what I wanted you to say? Did you shine my light? Oh, sorry, God. I was thinking about myself, and I didn't want to hurt their feelings, and I didn't really want them to be mad at me. I didn't want to be the only one in the office who they knew was about Jesus. We have to stand before Jesus someday. Eyes wide open, be watching. I love it when God just traps me at the grocery store because I'm buying something for Sunday school and I have to talk about it. And I don't want to, because I'm telling him, God, they don't care. They're only asking me this because it's their job to be nice to me. They're paid to do this. But he doesn't care. He's like, well, it's still an opportunity, Sharon, so you better do it. So there I am. Okay. Well, that's about that. Dry eyes is about Jesus. The glory of God on the mountain. Oh, that's nice, lady. But I said his name. I said his name in context of who he is. And he's like, I love you. You were obedient. And I just feel his presence. I feel the joy over me. Because I just said his name in the grocery store. That's how much he pours over us with just a little bit of obedience. It's worth it. We seek to do all things for God's glory, not to receive accolades, because, man, we are looking good in the church. We confess our sins to God and pray for his continual work in us. And Shirley took us there last night to confess, and that's so important. We can't be clean conduits for God to shine through us if we don't confess all the stuff. We strive to know God and to do the things which please him, knowing that we can bear no good fruit without him. And that, ladies, is spiritual discipline. And it's hard enough not to eat a bag of chips. I get it. But we need to have spiritual discipline. So if I have to have spiritual discipline in those things, then that should transfer over and vice versa. So I just won't buy the chips at the grocery store. So I'll just set my alarm 15 minutes earlier because I know I need to start my day with Jesus. And no, I don't want to set my alarm 15 minutes earlier. And I'm sitting there looking at my phone like, 5:15. I get it. Say 5. Do it. Just do it. And turn around and go to sleep. And God will go, yes. In fact, before the retreat, he said, Sharon, these 2 weeks before retreat, I want you to get up at 5. Mm-hmm. I really would prefer 5:30 or 6. No, you need to get up at 5 because you have to pray over the women. Well, you intercede for him, right? But this is what I did. This is true confessions. Okay, Jesus, I'll put 5:30, but if you really want me to get up at 5, then wake me up. He woke me up! I would have to go to the bathroom. I would get this terrible sinus headache. The dog would decide he wanted to go to the bathroom. I'm like, are Are you kidding me? That's hilarious. Yeah. So we go pray. Isn't that neat? When we does it?
You will be spiritually disciplined.
So, but we are supposed to say yes. Yes. And like Patty said, none of those tutus. I'm too tired. I'm too busy. None of those. We're going to be tutti frutti. Okay, sorry. And yet, being a fruitful tutti frutti Christian is not accomplished by just doing a checkoff list. It is by the surrender, by allowing God to be the changer of our characters, to be the renewer of our souls, and to continually be changing us into the image of God. And here's just the beautiful thing about it. To be fruitful means to follow Christ. We get to just be close to Him. We get to just be hugged by Him all our lives. I love that. To love what He loves. What a privilege. To do what He commands with a loving and joyful heart. This obedience is both predestined, it's planned for us, and it's empowered by God, so we can't boast about it at all. We can't boast about our fruits, and we can't boast about our ministries. It's all for Him. So I want us to be careful of what we say. Our fruit is good because God is good. And it will stay good if we ascribe all of it to God's glory. So, there are a few things I want to say, and I'm going to close this out. God wants us to aim at pure glory. So, when we aim at pure glory, we choose God's glory above all things. And that's those things that really fill our glory ache, not the sad substitutes. We aim at God's glory alone, and we are content with God's will, even if it may cross our own. And we aim at God's glory alone when we are content to be outshined by others in gifts and esteem. Because remember, it's not about us. It's not a competition. It's not comparison. It's team. Jesus and me. Jesus and the church all together. So that His glory may be increased for God's glory alone. That's it. I'm going to pray. Man, God, I pray that an eternal work has happened in our hearts. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, against the enemy who has no power in view of you, that we would not doubt what you have done in our hearts and minds this weekend. I pray that we would be mighty warriors in the battle and wield your word, the sword. That we would have our helmets on so that we would not think in the circus of our head, but we would have the mind of Christ. That God, we would have that breastplate on us. That we would allow you to clean our heart and protect our heart and make us righteous. That we would wear the belt of truth proudly and think truth. Speak truth. And that our feet would be ready to take the gospel out there. To the people you love that don't know you yet. To the people we love that don't know you yet. And to our friends who know you, but they're limping right now, God. Lord, help us to see who we are in you, that we are tall and mighty, righteous oaks for your splendor. And maybe we're just a little Charlie Brown tree right now, but we're just in the process of not yet. We are on our way. Keep our God goggles on us, God. Keep us watching for you. Keep us in view of your hope. And I pray that you would remind us to keep our circumstance at our feet and your presence all around us. Remind us that you are the eye in the storm. Remind us that you did not ordain for us to have an easy life. Help us to receive the grace of perseverance when it is that instead of the grace of deliverance. Help us to trust you with our lives, to believe that you love us, to believe that you are all love, all glory, pure holiness, that you are trustworthy, you are worthy of our praise, so worthy of our entire lives, that we would spend this spit in the bucket life for your glory, so that we can be in full glory for all eternity. Help us to not wear the label of anything but Jesus, Jesus Christ, child of God. In the name of Jesus, I praise you. We love you. And we just lift our hearts up to you and ask that you would make us brand new and help us to run hard in your power. In Jesus' name, amen.